and amen. Turn your Bibles to Matthew this morning. Matthew chapter number 14. Don't you appreciate the Lord moving among us today? Amen. A lot of people have gathered at a lot of buildings today, and they've called themselves having church, but they've missed the ingredient to have church, and that's the Lord. And they've gathered, but the songwriter said it best, all is vain lest the Spirit of the Holy One come down. And let me tell you, I believe He has come down today, and He's met with us, and I bless His good name for that. Are you in Matthew chapter number 14? Say amen. I'm going to read a very familiar portion of Scripture, but I ask that you pray for me and that God would speak through me and speak to you today. I believe He'll have something for us. This is not what I came with intending on preaching. You can ask my wife. She leaned over and probably saw where I originally had my text at, my Bible. But God is steering us a different way for this moment. But I believe He has something special for us today. We'll begin reading in verse number 22 of Matthew 14. The Bible says this, "And straightway Jesus constrained His disciples to get into a ship and to go before Him unto the other side while He sent the multitudes away. And when He had sent the multitudes away, He went up into a mountain apart to pray. And when the evening was come, He was there alone. But the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary. And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them, walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw Him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, It is a spirit, and they cried out for fear. But straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, Be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid. And Peter answered Him, said, Lord, if it be Thou, bid me come unto Thee on the water. And He said, Come. And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, he cried, saying, Lord, save me. And immediately Jesus stretched forth His hand and caught him and said unto him, O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? I love this passage of Scripture. If you've been a Christian for probably longer than one day, you've been a Christian and also went through a storm in your life or some sort of a circumstance that you did not expect. Maybe you had to face a trial face to face that you had no idea was coming your way. I would dare say that there'd be some dear gray-headed saints of God among us this morning that could stand and testify of the things that they have walked through in their personal own life and the things that maybe that they've seen with their very eyes. Circumstances come and they do rise up. Let me say this morning. Just because you got saved doesn't mean that now that you're a Christian you have to face storms. Amen. Just because you gave your heart to Christ doesn't mean now I'm just one of them people that cry and I'm in the altar all the time. Let me tell you something. Job said it like this, man that is born of a woman is a few days and full of trouble. Trouble is coming whether we like it or not. Storms are coming whether we want them to or not. And those things are coming to whether a person is saved or lost. But I'm glad to be on the side that I know that I'm saved. And when the storms do come, I can run to an altar. I can run to a place and begin to cast all my care upon the Lord because He careth for me. Amen. I read through this text, and there's something that really sticks out in my mind. You have to go before and you have to go after to see what's really going on here. Those of you that know this story well know that the disciples have just left the place where Jesus fed the 5,000 men. No telling how many others was there, but the 5,000 men had just been fed. And the Bible explains to us that after everything was done and the dishes were washed, if I could say it like that, Jesus looked at his disciples and said, "Now, boys, we still got work to do." Amen. He began to tell them where to go. He began to command them to get into the boat, go to the other side, go to Gennesaret. Amen. He said, "There are still souls over there that need to be saved. There are still people over there that do not know me and that they have not trusted in me yet. Boys, we have a mission to accomplish." Let me say something to you this morning. Even though we may go through hard times and we may go through circumstances and battles in our life, there is still an objective in our life that needs to be accomplished. Just because we may be walking through hard times does not mean that we need to hang up what God has called us to do in our life and does not give us permission to slow down. But even when the storm rage, you just have to say, "Let them rage on, and I'm going to do the will of my Father." Amen. This morning, I'd like to preach on this: how to stand in the storm. Standing in the storm. We see here, this story starts out in verse number 22. They were constrained. We don't really use that word anymore, I guess. I love Bible words, don't y'all? I'm thinking about starting to use Bible words myself. Amen. Instead of telling somebody what to do, I'm going to say, "I constrain you to go and do that." Amen. Everybody's trying to tell me how to raise my baby. I've done figured out how to raise my baby. I'm just going to Bible talk to her. "Doth thou not understandest me? If thou doest that again, thou surely will be chastised." Amen. Amen. I'm just going to put the Bible to use. Amen. It won't work. Amen. My wife said she knows some Bible words too. It's "thou will not doest that." Amen. He constrained them. He commanded them to go to the other side. Let me say this. Can I put it to you like this morning? You have to see that they were doing what Jesus said to do. There are a lot of Christians in this life, brother, they feel like, "I've been trying to live for God. I've been trying to do everything Jesus has asked me to do." Maybe he's called you to preach. Maybe he's just wanted you to join the choir. Maybe he just wanted you to do this or do that for him. And as soon as you did it, something rose up in your life unexpectedly. And now you feel like, "Did I miss God? Maybe I misunderstood what he wanted me to do," because me trying to do what he said to do has now brought a storm into my life. Let me say this to you. I hope you hear me this morning. Just because a storm come in your life does not mean that you missed God. It does not mean that you misheard him. Let me say it to you like this. Amen. Let me go ahead and be real honest with y'all if y'all don't mind. If you surrendered to do something for God and a storm did not shortly follow, I would question if that was true or not. Because anytime you do something for God, amen, the devil will not be happy about it. And he will not just let you go on about your business and do what God's called you to do. He's going to throw the stones. He's going to throw the rocks. He's going to try to bring you down. Anything that he can do to slow you down from accomplishing the will of God, he will do his best to try to put a stop to it. Amen. They was doing what God said to do. They was going to where Jesus said to go. They was acting the way they were supposed to act. They was walking right. They was talking right. They was living right. But still, a storm came. Don't feel like you missed God just because a storm came. You just trust God and say, "Lord, I know that you did call me to do this now because I'm facing adversity." Number one, I want you to see this. It's 11:58. Are y'all nervous yet? What time y'all normally get out? I'm going to be nervous till we dismiss. What time y'all normally get out? He ain't going to tell me. What time y'all get out? 1:30. Amen. You should have said something. Everybody's looking at me like, well, just whenever. All right, well, 2 o'clock will be here for long. Amen. Whenever's fine with us. 10 minutes later, everybody's like, good, not a lot. Number one, I want you to see this. Look in verse number 26. The Bible said this, and when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, it is a spirit. And they cried out for fear. You say, Brother Jared, how am I going to stand in the storm? Number one, you're going to have to see things correctly. How many of you ever been in a storm in your life? Boy, you were so dazed and you were so confused and you were such in question, God, why has this happened? And the more that you called on him and the more that you begged God to show up and intervene, when he did show up, you couldn't even recognize that it was him. Amen. I'm going to need some honest North Carolinians to preach to this morning. Amen. I'm from Georgia, and I'm a transplant to South Carolina, so y'all don't mind if I come up to North Carolina and preach for a minute, do you? Y'all be honest with me. I'll be honest with you. Amen. There have been some times in my life, I know I'm young, I'm only 26, but I've walked through some things when I lifted up my head towards heaven and I said, God, Lord, I wish you would help me now. Lord, I sure wish you'd show up and start doing something in my life. And when he was trying to do something, I couldn't even recognize that it was him trying to do the work. There they are out there in the middle of the ocean, out in the middle of the sea, and they're crying out for fear. Oh, God, why'd you send us out here? Lord, we was helping you back there. Lord, we going to where you said to go to. Why is this happening? Here comes Jesus walking on the water, their way, coming to their help, coming to their rescue. And when they locked eyes with him, they couldn't even tell that it was him, and they cried out the more afraid, more scared, thought now we're being chased after ghosts. Now there is spirits on the water trying to bring us down. Lord, where are you? Couldn't even tell that it was him because they could not see correctly. But I like what our Bible says. The Bible says in verse number 27, but straightway Jesus spake unto them and he said, be of good cheer, it is I. Be not afraid. Hallelujah. How many of y'all like Simon Peter in your Bible? Simon Peter is one of my favorite New Testament characters, if you could say that word, people, person. You say, why? Because he reminds me of me. Or I find myself in him a lot. You say, why is that? Because his life was a roller coaster full of emotion. I mean, Simon Peter was singing, the God on the mountain. One minute, then the next minute he was singing, nobody knows. Trouble I see. One minute he's saying, I'd go with Jesus anywhere to the moon and back. The next minute he's saying, never heard of him. No, oh, Jesus? Oh, cussed. I don't know him. Then the next minute, he's preaching to 3,000 and they get saved. Huh. Does that sound like anybody you know? Should remind you of yourself. Simon Peter. It's a spirit! Good God Almighty, not only has God sent us out here to die in the middle of the ocean, but now we've got a demonic attack among us. The Lord said, be of good cheer. It is I. Well, if anybody's going to know who I is, Simon Peter would know. Simon Peter. And Peter answered him. I love how Peter talks all the time and nobody ever asks him any questions. Does he remind you of anybody this morning? No question was asked, but Simon Peter sure had an answer. Peter answered him and said, who did he say? Lord. You say, how did he know that it was the Lord? Because he heard his voice. Amen. Let me say this to you. I'm going to give you a biblical truth, and I'm going to try to move on as fast as I can because I'm starting to get hungry too. You might not be able to see God until it's him. But when you hear him, you'll know it's him. You might be confused at what you see. Hallelujah. But when he speaks, that voice You'll never get that one wrong. Bless his name. All right, let me get back to Simon Peter. I feel like the Lord's making us slow down and walk through this softly. Simon Peter, roller coaster of a life, roller coaster of emotions, spirit. Oh, it's the Lord. I heard him talk. It is I, be not afraid. And Simon Peter said, Lord, 100%, absolutely, positively, knows beyond a shadow of a doubt, it's the Lord out there walking on the water because I heard him. Next statement. If it's really you, y'all reading your Bible? If it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water. How many of us could testify this morning and say we've been same place Simon Peter's living right here? We were so messed up. We were so confused, brother. We couldn't see what God was doing, where God was at. Then he'd speak to us and we'd say, oh, thank you, Lord Jesus. We knew you'd come. And the next thing you know, we're saying, now, Lord, if it's really you trying to do this for me, Lord, if you're really going to come through on my behalf this time, I need you to do something for me. I need one more proof that you're going to get me through this. Simon Peter said, Lord, I heard your voice. I really believe it's you. Kind of like the other statement we find in the New Testament. Lord, I believe, but help mine unbelief. Lord, I have a little faith. I have some faith, but I don't have all faith. Lord, if it's really you, would you let me come out there and walk on the water to you? Now, Jesus was the first one to ever walk on water, and of all people, I'm voting John the Baptist to be the second. Amen. I'm thinking of any other disciple beside the crazy cussing one. Ain't one minute preaching the gospel, next minute out there fishing naked. Amen. He's crazy as can be. He's like, I like that water walking business. I believe I'll get that a try. Hey, Lord, can I come out there with you? You say, what are you trying to say, preacher? I'm trying to tell you this morning, you need to see something. We all like Simon Peter. We all got a little crazy in us. We all got a little doubt in us. But he wasn't scared to try his faith neither. A lot of us, we live back here with a little bit of faith. But that experimental faith, than places that we ain't never walked before, we'd rather just somebody else go before us and test the waters a little bit. Simon Peter looked around and said, well, if y'all ain't going to do nothing, I will. Lord, can I come out there? Lord, I know you're the only one that I've ever seen do anything like that, but Lord, if you can do it, then you can give me the power to do it. Lord, would you let me come out there and walk with you? I want you to write this down. Not only do you have to see things correctly, but secondly, you have to separate from comfort. Here, I don't know about y'all. Now, I grew up, Brother Tyler, southeast Georgia, down there on the water. We had the ocean on one side and the Okefenokee swamp on the other. If the sharks didn't get you, the alligators would. Amen. And if neither of them got you, you'd be carried away by mosquitoes as big as a, 722 airplane. 727, whatever they are. I'm not a pilot, I'm a preacher. Growing up in southeast Georgia, I love to fish. Somebody, if y'all are bass fishermen, see me after church. I've been here for 2 weeks going on number three. Okay, withdrawals are bad. I love fishing. And I found this out. I've been in a few storms while on a boat. I mean, I've been in some rough ones. Brother Tyler, I've learned real fast that the best place to be while you're in a storm, if you're in the ocean, you don't want to get out of the boat. Common sense tells us the best place to be is... Thank you. In the boat. I can see Simon Peter's fearing for his life because of the storm. He just got confused at the things that he couldn't see right. And he's looking back at all his buddies and all the disciples that are with him. And he's wondering, man, are we going to really go out like this? Is this going to be how it's really going to end for us? Simon, hunker down and put your seatbelt on. It's about to get bad. No, I don't think so. I think I'd just rather be out there wherever he's at. Lord, see, I don't think Simon Peter wanted to walk on water so he could get the stamp of approval from Jesus. You've been the second person to ever do this, and I'm sure proud of you. But I think what Simon Peter had going on in his heart and in his mind is he was looking at where he was. And he was looking at the place that he was in, and he realized that he had his friends, that he had the safety of the boat, but he looked out yonder in the water, and he saw Jesus out there walking on the sea. I don't know, I can't prove this, but I just wonder if everywhere Jesus stepped, the water just calmed down. Every time he took another step, that wave just ceased a little bit. Amen. And Simon Peter looked out there and said, boys, we might be in a good, safe ship over here, but I see my Savior out there. And let me tell you something, honey, y'all can stay if you want to, but I would rather be wherever he's at. If I go down, I'm going to go down trying to get closer to him. Hallelujah. Amen. I think we need some faith like that this morning. We need some people to rise up and say, I may go down, but I'm going to go out trying to walk close to him as I can. I may fall down, but I'm just going to trust him to pick me back up. I'm just going to leave the place that I know is comfortable for me, because I want to be with my Savior. Let me tell you something, honey. Jesus called me to preach. God called me to preach when I was 19 years old. I ran from it for years. I didn't want no part of it. Amen. My daddy was a preacher. My papa was a preacher. My uncles were preachers. My cousins were preachers. I said, good God Almighty, we got plenty of preachers in this family. Someone needs a job. Amen. Lord, please just let me work a 9-to-5. I seen how they treated my daddy. I seen how they treated my papa. I seen how my family was treated. I said, Lord, please don't make me go down that road. I remember October the 23rd on a Saturday afternoon youth meeting that me, myself, and I had planned while I was trying to run from God. I was the one that scheduled the meeting. The preacher come in, had more God on him than anybody knew what to do with, and he preached in the Holy Ghost. And while I was standing there singing, Lord, give me a drink of that water. Oh, the living water, let it flow through me to everlasting life. The Lord nudged my heart. He said, son, you tired of running yet? You tired of living in this place of comfort? You tired of living in this place where you just gonna ride your daddy's coattail? Or are you ready to leave that comfort and do something for me? I dropped that microphone. I ran down off the stage to the right hand side of the church. I said, Lord, I surrender all. I'm getting out of the boat and I'm getting to wherever you are. Hallelujah. Hey, man, I don't know where you're standing tonight. You may be right in the middle of a storm. You may be right in the middle of one of the worst things that you've ever had to walk through in your life. But let me tell you, don't stay in the boat. Don't stay in that place of comfort. But say, Lord, wherever you are, if you're standing on the shore, I want to stand there. If you're standing out on the water, I want to stand there. And when it doesn't make sense, I'll still follow God. Amen. You have to separate from comfort. Then lastly, I want you to see this. He said, come. He walked on the water. Verse number 30. But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid. And beginning to sink, he cried, saying, Lord, save me. I'm going to say this when I'm going to go on because it's 12:13 and I smelt chicken. Somewhere. Not only do you have to see things correctly, separate from comfort, but sinking calls for crying. Let me say this to you. I wanted just to say my point and go on, but let me say this. I've not found anywhere in my Bible that when a man falls, he gets set back 10 years. Not found anywhere when you and you fall when you're trying to get closer to the Lord. Let me say this. While you're trying to get the closest to the Lord that you've ever been is probably when you're going to fall. Biblically proven. Just now. And I didn't find where Jesus leaned down and said, wait a minute, Simon Peter. You know that there's a 10-step program down back at the temple that you got to take before I can put you back up on the water. Wait a minute, Simon Peter, you know that since you just failed, that everybody in the boat is actually closer to me than what you are. Let me say something that I believe that you can or cannot disagree with. You can do whatever you want to with it. Even though he failed, he was still closer to the Lord than the rest of them. I'm going to take a sip of water on that one. Even though he was going down, he'd still made more progress than the one standing in the boat.
Yeah, right.
Amen. Jesus didn't question him. He didn't say, let's pray about it for a while. I need you to do 27 hours of community service in Bethlehem. But the Bible said this. Simon Peter said, Lord, save me. Lord, when I was trying to get to you, the wind got stronger and the waves got higher. Lord, and I'm sorry. Lord, but I took my eyes off of you to see what was going on around me. And Lord, when I did, I went under. I'm sorry. Save me. What did the Bible say? And immediately. I'm thankful for some immediate grace in our life. You say, how fast is immediately? About that fast, I guess. Amen. I would say immediately is probably so fast that before Simon Peter ever got the word save me out of his mouth, that the hand of our Lord Jesus was reaching down to pick him up back out of that water. You say, how do you know? Because I remember when the Lord was dealing with my heart and I called on him for the first time. When I said, Lord, I know I'm a sinner. Would you? Something began to happen down inside of my soul. Something began to change. I was trying to ask him to save me, but I couldn't even get the words out good yet, and I already felt a change taking place. About that fast. Sinking calls for crying. Then lastly, how am I going to stand in this storm? You must stand with Christ. Let's read the last verse. Brother Tyler, do you have anybody in particular you want to come to the piano? Brother Jimmy, y'all come on. If y'all got a song, y'all get ready to sing it. I want you to listen to me now. This is what God put on my heart. We had the prayer for this family a while ago. And they were singing the songs, and boy, you could just feel the burdens in the room. Brother, you could just feel it. And some people's probably walking through some dark places this morning. Yeah. Some people's probably walking through some things nobody else even knows about. Probably some wives going through some things husbands don't know about. Probably some husbands, yeah, even the macho men, even the ones that run the house are probably fighting some battles. Honey don't know about them. Children don't know about them. I'm facing some things this morning. I wish God would take care of them. Now, I want you to see something today. The Bible says this, verse 31, immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and called him. Now listen. And said unto him, O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? Now you got to listen to the last verse to understand what I'm about to tell you. And when they were come into the ship, the wind ceased. I can't tell you how many times I've read this story and missed what I'm about to tell you. I'm sure the Bible students know it. Several of you men probably have seen it before, and women. I'm not preaching anything new. I'm just here to remind you what you forgot. But I'd read it so many times before, Kogan, never saw it. Till one day, Jesus said, O thou little faith. They're having a conversation. Since they're out there in the middle of the water, just talking back and forth. I can imagine, as Jesus said, Simon Peter, where was it that you started doubting me? I can see that Simon's looking around now, standing in the middle of the ocean, hand in hand with Jesus, while everybody else is in the boat saying, I can't believe he done it. And he said, well, Lord, I was doubting you a little bit back there, but now everything's good. And I ain't doubting no more, because me and you standing on top of water, talking. And the next verse. And when they were come into the ship, when Jesus put his foot in that boat, is when everything stopped. You say, what are you trying to say, Brother Jared? I'm trying to tell you this morning that while Simon Peter and Jesus was standing there having their conversation, the storm was still going on. And the wind was still blowing. And the waves were still just as high as what they were when Simon Peter fell. And the ruckus and the noise and the fear was still all around Simon Peter. But Simon Peter can no longer see everything that he used to see. Simon Peter don't feel that wind no more that he felt knock him over. He doesn't even pay attention to the waves that are crashing over the top of his head. He is not frightened by the sound of the blistering wind anymore. You say, why? Because he's no longer looking at the storm, but he's got his focus on the Savior. Let me say it to you like this morning. You cannot see the storm when you're looking at the sun. Some of us can still be standing right in the middle of our storm, but if we just quit looking at everything that's going on all around us and say, Lord, we're going to focus on you, the storm will not have its effect on us anymore. I don't know if you're walking in the storm this morning, but if you're going to make it and if you're going to stand, you got to do it wherever he's standing. You got to stand with Christ. Let's all stand together. If you are, if you're walking through one, or if one's blowing in on your life, well, this morning you say, Lord, I'm ready. Lord, just to get out there wherever you're at. I'm ready to leave my comfort. I'm ready to leave that place that seems safest to everyone else. Lord, I just want to be wherever you are, and I want to stand with you. And Lord, let the storm roll on. Let it rage on. Let it blow on, because it will not have its effect on me when I'm standing near to you. Lord Jesus, we love you. We thank you for the word of God. I pray, Lord, that you bless your people and help them. Lord, if they're in a storm today, Lord, if they're in a trial, have a burden weighing on them, Lord, I pray, God, that you touch their life, touch their heart. God, Lord, will they come and cast their care upon the Lord, for you care for us. And Lord, may we do whatever it takes to do our best to stand with you while we're in our storm. Touch them, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen.
I want to know him better, and I want to walk closer, and I want to learn about the heart that was broken for me. It may require suffering, but I am willing for the darker the valley, the more clearly I see. There will come sweet things out of sweet.
precious words that I may never have had the privilege to hear. Son, I brought you to this dark valley just to show you my glory. Oh, how sweet is the darkness when the Father is near. There will come sweet things out of dark places.
Name of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, knowing that every good gift and every perfect gift comes from you. So, Lord, this morning we thank you for the presence and the power of the sweet Holy Ghost. Now, Lord, I want to thank you for this, our dear brother, and I worship you today. God, we thank you for how that you have encouraged your people. My heart is broken. My heart is burdened for these, Lord, that are so half-hearted in their devotion. Oh, God, convict us. Start with me, oh, God. Cast out every fiber of apathy in my heart. Shatter every cold ice place in my soul. Empower me and fire me up in the moving of the Spirit of God. We'll praise you.